Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I was talking to the Lord about some things and that He's been sharing with me about my own personal life and my own walk. There's been some changes in some of my accountability people that are, they're in the closet with me. And I'm not talking about coming out of the closet and telling you something that's going to freak you out. That's not what I'm talking about. And you know, relationships change when maturity comes. You understand that? And a relationship changes when the relationship has been tested. And then you don't have to revisit and have to, I don't know, if I say that and I offend Brad, he may go, well, I've offended him enough, he keeps showing up. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, once that's been tested. But yesterday, we were sitting there and Brad put a Facebook post of something that he took from me years ago. And it was, you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. And I went back to when God gave me that statement. I was black and white, prophetic, religious, egotistical, and probably at the root, angry. When God started giving me that. And it comes out of Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, what does it say? What does it say, Kathy? Kathy? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together unless you agree? The world record, the world walking record for miles covered in a 24-hour period by a single individual is 121 miles in 24 hours. The record is held by C.A. Harrison in California. The world double record is held by Jim Clark and Roger Rogas from Clinton, Illinois. To qualify for the doubles record, Clark and Rogas had to walk side by side. They clocked 116.5 miles in 24 hours. In the spiritual realm, it's not how fast or how far we can walk, but how Christ-like we can be as we walk. Amos 3:3, in his day, his contemporaries claimed to be walking with God, but God saw their inconsistencies and said in verse 10, they do not know how to do things right. And so as we start walking this walk, there is a demonic religiousness that will make us be unwilling to walk with others. Yesterday, we were talking, and listen, I believe that you have to have some absolutes. In this Christian walk, there are some absolutes that are non-negotiables for me. One is the virgin birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the release of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's where I stop my religious black and white, because there's a lot of people that are saved and have the Holy Spirit and may not speak in tongues, may not have the fullness of what I believe is experience, but that is not a deal breaker for me. I'm going to tell you, it's a deal breaker for some people in the body of Christ. Walking together is God's desire for His children. How can we walk together? In answering Amos's question, let us consider first the implications of walking together. Second, the importance of walking together. And third, the implications of our walk. In the Old Testament, implications of walking together. The New Testament, the word used most often characterizes Christian activity is walking. Not a short hike or a casual stroll, but a lifetime of commitment. There's people that I've walked with for like a week and they think they know me. But I did something, said something, they got offended because they had an absolute that was not an absolute for me. And therefore, they couldn't walk with me. But I'm telling you, in this Christian life, when you decide to walk with Christ, this is a lifetime commitment. That's a good word. It's a lifetime commitment to maintain fellowship by walking with the Father and His family. So many people say, oh, I walk with God, and they hate everybody in the church. Well, when you walk with God, you'll actually have to learn to like His kids. You know, I'll never forget, I got this father-son paradigm down pat with Papa Jack, and I love Papa Jack, and I became Jack's favorite, and I loved a couple of his sons that became my best friends, and then he adopted a couple guys I didn't like. I'll never forget, I walk in the green room, and Papa Jack's laying hands on these two knuckleheads. Actually, one knucklehead, one guy I kind of liked. And instantly, I heard the Holy Spirit, now that he's a brother, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to throw him in a pit like they did Joseph. That's biblical. But that isn't what the Father was telling me. And I had to come to the point where I was disagreeable because I didn't like something. He had absolutes that were not my absolutes. And when his absolute became an accusation, I shot back. Walking together implies union. When a union is formed, there is a common bond. This principle is seen in marriage. Nelson, can you take the ringing out of this? The principle is seen in marriage. There is a unity in the bond of holy matrimony. It is also in the family of God, where we are united to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his causes become our causes. See, when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, is it a different Christ in her? It's the same Christ. And we've got to figure out how to get our attitudes out of this black and white separatist, I'll do it alone. You will not survive alone. Where's that coming? Kill that thing. There we go. Thank you. Hearing myself once is bad enough. That wasn't you. I hold that against him. Okay, walking together implies union. See, the union relationship between me and you is our oneness in Christ. That's a union. That's not necessary. That's not necessarily unity. We can have union and still not have unity. Okay? So here's unity is more than union. Union is the framework that brings us together, which is Christ. Unity is the function within that framework. Union is getting together. Unity is getting along. It's our, well, poor Susie. Okay, all right, let me put it to you this way. You can tie two cat's tails together, throw them over a fence, and you can have union because they're tied together, but that is a long stretch of imagination to say that they're in unity. I've seen marriages. They're tied together, but they're fighting like two cats over a fence. Okay, so we've got to get beyond union and get into unity. Peter's going to knock on my door. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. We come into unity because of Christ. We come into union because of Christ. We come into unity because of love. You understand this? Love covers a multitude of sin. People think I cover people's sin. No, I cover the person that's in sin to give them an opportunity to come out of it. Am I making sense here? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In this verse here, you see both union and unity. The bond is the union. The unity is in the Spirit. Because I'm telling you, when you get in the Holy Spirit, He's not nearly as dogmatic on your doctrine as on His doctrine as you are, because His doctrine is love. Ours is our pet scripture, or what your grandmother taught you. Can I say something? Your grandma might have been wrong. My parents, God bless them, they're as crazy. You look at my mom and dad's history. Were they salt of the earth Christians? Absolutely. Were they leaders? Absolutely. Did they represent Christ? Yep, with a stick. You know, my dad believed in spare the rod, spoil the child, and beat the hell out of you. Okay. We'll leave that alone. Here's another example. King Charles V became weary of ruling over this fractious country and abandoned his throne in 1556. He retired to a monastery where he spent his time trying to get a dozen clocks to run in perfect synchronization. I read this, I'm like, that's like pastoring cats. When he had repeatedly failed, he said, "How foolish I have been to think I could make my people live together in harmony when I can't make two clocks to run in unison." King Charles V, nor any other human, can make people stay in step with one another. Only the Holy Spirit, who brings us together, can keep us together as we submit to Him. One who walks with God knows God reveals His will to him through His word and His actions. This is the way to keep in step with the Father first and our brother second. And we have to release grace. The importance of walking together. Now, I just threw away three pages. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Have you ever seen a really, really expensive neighborhood with the big brick walls around it, the whole thing? And it's got a front gate? That's Christianity. The front gate is Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not a Christian unless you come through that gate and only that gate. We agree? Okay, if you're a Muslim, I'm glad you're religious. That ain't Jesus. It's not cool. But you come through that gate and you drive down the road and you see this house and this house and this house and this house, and they're all similar in value because it's the same community. But every house is a little different. And then you have different people living in these houses. This is called the neighborhood of Christianity. And then you have backyards of each one of these houses that has a fence. And in that, you have this relationship that you're in the neighborhood, but then you have different homes, then you have different backyards, and we talk to each other over the fence. And, oh, you're so sweet. Come on over for a barbecue. You bring the ribs, you bring the beans, you bring the, and let's have a barbecue. And we all collect in someone's backyard. Does that mean we agree on everything? No, it just needs, I need those beans. And you need those ribs. And we have need one to another to have a good barbecue. I'm telling you, that's the body of Christ. So it's brick walls, picket fences, backyards, and then from there you go into the living room of the individual house. You don't get invited to everybody's living room. Because you share things in the living room that are more absolutes and you need more agreement with that. But if you're going to take an absolute from the living room, you're going to be a horse's butt in the backyard. I have a gentleman that I'm in business with, and he considers me his spiritual father. And we're driving down the road one day, and he starts talking about, yeah, I bought my kids the Harry Potter series. I'm like, you're a certified idiot. And I realized real quick, he was going to do what he was going to do. But I also have some spiritual responsibility to tell him, you're a certified idiot. And I told him he's a certified idiot. Except this certified idiot is afraid to tell his wife that this needed to get out of the house. I said, okay, here's the way it is. You do what you want to do. It's your house. We'll have the barbecue. We're driving down the road. We're having a good barbecue. But you're not bringing your stupid stuff into my living room. I love you, but when your fear of your wife and your lack of covering your kids manifest, don't call me big boy. 5-6 years later, he prayed for me. My daughter thinks she's a son, a boy. I'm like, not my problem. You brought that stuff in your house. Why don't you step up and kick that devil out? Why? You can't bring your living room stuff into my living room. My living room is my living room. My closet is my closet. Those are the things that I walk with. But we had enough unity. I had enough love and unity to let him be dumb. I loved him and covered what I believe was destructive. But I believe because of my love and my covering, when it came to instruct him how to kick a demon out of his house, I was his cheerleader and not his accuser. I want to give you a report. She thinks she's a girl again. He's still afraid of his wife a little bit, but we've got a few things on the right track. Yeah, well, we have established a lot of things in the living room. Someone asked my youngest son one time, who's in charge, your mom or your dad? He said, my mom is until my dad says she ain't. She is in charge until she ain't. You know, you got to work that out a little bit between you, just like you have to work this out in the Christian family. That's our new family motto. So brick walls, picket fences, backyards, and closets. Because you'll actually invite some people into your living room, but you won't let them into the closet of your heart. Okay, you have to, why? Because it says guard the heart, because that is where all of the issues of life flow from. And what may be my conviction and my issue may not be yours. And I may not be able to share it with you until we have spent some time in the backyard and in the living room. And then would you say, man, this isn't working? I'm like, yeah, that didn't work for me in my situation. Let me share what God did with me or what God's doing with me. Okay, and I'm telling you, that's when we're taking it from union to unity. And when you've helped somebody come through a crisis in their life because they saw something in you to come to the barbecue, they saw something more in you to sit in your living room, and then they trusted you to say, be honest with me. What do you see? That's how we win together. I I just preached everything right there. I really did. So now we go to the personal notes. That's kind of a corporate overview. But let's get real serious. There's three type of people in your life. There's comrades, constituencies, and confidants. It's really the same message. What is a comrade? A comrade is kind of, he lives in the neighborhood with us. And all of a sudden, I had a tree fall down, and I got to get it cut up and moved around. Need help. Somebody shows up with a truck. Somebody shows up with a trailer. Somebody shows up with a chainsaw. We get it done. He doesn't really like my barbecue beans. He doesn't like my brisket that much. He doesn't come up with just that Easter event. But because I had a need, because the tree fell in the neighborhood, he saw it, he heard it, he comes. He comes for an event. And in the Christian community, we have a lot of comrades. You see it, it's called conferences. You see a crisis against our faith. I think this neighborhood needs to be burnt to the ground. Everybody in the neighborhood goes, hey, everybody show up. They're trying to burn our whole community down. Okay, then why? Because we have need of each other in great numbers. The problem is because, all right, then you have a constituent. They come to the barbecue, bring what is needed, and then take what they need. Trust me, if you only bring beans and you only get to eat beans, that's a bad barbecue. But if you bring the beans and I eat the beans, that's some good beans, but I tell you what, that chicken he made and that now I've got a full plate and I've enjoyed the whole enchilada. Okay, but a constituent comes into a church because they're bringing something we need, but they need something we have. I almost said this last week that this pulpit, many, many times I'll bring people to this pulpit because they're bringing something we need, but I heard the Lord say this year there's going to be some people I'm going to put in the pulpit because they need what we have. And they may not preach the exact message you like. Shut up. Shut up. I had a conversation this week with somebody who stood behind this pulpit and took more criticism, actually from me, but I can do that. But he had enough success where he knew. He said, man, I felt that gift in me. I'm like, isn't that great? Well, he felt the gift in him, and now it's driving him to deal with some stuff so he could hold the character to literally stand behind it every week. Why? Because we gave him an opportunity as a body to let the gift within him emerge. That wasn't really for us, because I had to kind of, if you really looked at some of my messages, I was killing some of his thoughts. But he's greater than his thoughts. And the revelation that the gift within him came because and I believe we're going to have to, if somebody can come in here and preach a stupid message and ruin my church needs to be ruined. You're so afraid of an untruth, the devil owns you. I'm not saying live under it. I mean, I'll step up. I mean, I have asked for the mic before. But a constituent comes in and brings something we need, and they get something from us. Then you have confidants. A confidant doesn't come just to the barbecue to bring and get. He comes to wait afterwards to sit in the living room and then go to the closet. A confidant is in relationship because they love you, not what they can get from you. And there's very few of them. Here's the problem is we don't categorize people that we are in relation. If this whole thing, this old walk together is a lifestyle, you think it starts off as confidant and it stays there. No, I've had some confidants that I pushed to the middle and I pushed him to the end. I tried to push him off the cliff. Why? Because the relationship was not where it needed to be, nor was it healthy. My problem is I always go heart level, and then I get upset when you stab me. I should have never given you my heart. I should have never given you my heart. And then I gripe and bellyache because you stabbed me. You're an idiot. You weren't supposed to get the steak at a filet mignon already. You're supposed to eat hot dogs in the barbecue room, out in the backyard. Because we have to evaluate. See, sounds like class warfare. It's not. It's wisdom. Everybody comes running. The event is over. The battle gets won. The enemy gets shut down. They go back into their own caves. That's okay. But here's my challenge. There's people that are doing that now who should be here. And my statement to them was, you can only stay a comrade for a season. And if this isn't where you're a constituent and this isn't where you're a confidant, you better go find one. Every single one of us needs to find that confidant that knows what God knows. And that has to be earned. Because when all hell comes at you, you need that one phone call from a Rodney or that one phone call from a pastor, Mike, or that says, listen, you were kind of stupid, but I still got your heart. I still got your back. Hang in there, bro. Hang in there, bro. I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, am I maturing? He goes, yeah. Kind of bass-ackward, but you are. I says, would you explain that? He says, yeah, you're into a depression and want to commit suicide. That's better than trying to kill other people. I'm like, that's maturing? Well, when I quit trying to kill other people and I'm the victim and I lash out at you, it means I had a wound that I needed to get healed. At least the wound is healed. Now I don't want to kill you. Now I want to kill myself. Well, that's just false identity. This wasn't last week. Get over it. This is a long time ago. So when you only have union, your union will be tested to see if you can yield to unity. You want to hear the biggest test with me and Susie? I went bankrupt in 2010. I went into a depression. What was I going to do for a living? This nonprofit profit stuff is not working. And I was battling depression. I was battling, what do I do? And she watched me lay around for about 3 weeks, 21 days. 3 hours and let's go for a walk. And we went for a walk. She holds my hand, the sweet woman she is. And she says, when I married you, I knew you knew how to make money. I said, yeah, thank you. I'm not making much anymore. She says, I always knew you had the capabilities. She goes, yeah. And she goes, I know you're hurting and you're going through depression and you're just sitting around. And then she says this, I don't know if you know it or not, but I wasn't born to be poor. You need to fix this crap. And she didn't use that word. Okay, but listen, but you have to understand, there was enough union for her to say that. But what she said next put us into unity. I don't care if we live under a bridge and our journey to get where we're going, get started, tell me our direction. If I live under a bridge while we head somewhere, I'm with you. But if you can't tell me where we're going, you're in trouble. So what I'm saying is, why would two walk together if you don't know where you're going? If we don't know our purpose, if we don't know if we're willing to pay the price, that's when lack of honor and disrespect comes in and starts eroding the union. We've had some prophetic words that we lack that as a body, lack of honor and lack of respect. That I believe God's creating a different environment because I need your beans and I need your ribs and I need your coleslaw. And that's honor. It's not devaluing. Although, did you actually make those beans? And did you?
He did? Yeah, he did.
Okay. That's official. That's what we expect every time now. And it's official that I bring mac and cheese because that's really the only thing Susie cooks good. When it comes, don't feel sorry for her. We have enough unity in this. Now, listen. I came home from my honeymoon. Just got married. She puts a plaque on the fridge. I kiss better than I cook. I'm like, babe, we can buy food. So this cooking thing's never been an issue for her. And so, I mean, I love people like, hey, you're pretty fat. So we're talking about your wife's cooking. But anyway, it's all I eat now. So what am I saying? I am my brother's keeper. I mean, Brad put that post and had some religious people quote Amos 3:3 at him. And that actually just sparked it yesterday in that conversation. And I realized, I went back to some of my notes on that when he told me that. Why fight about everything? Because not everything is an absolute. I'm going to tell you something. In your closet, you can have your absolutes. And if God told you this behavior is sin, baby, it is sin to you. But don't throw your sin at me because I haven't had that conversation with God. That's closet information. And I'm telling you, as we start coming together in our union and our oneness, you cannot get away from me if you love Jesus. I know. You know how you get away from me when if we both love Jesus and I have a behavior, I have a belief system you don't want? It's called cutter. You start cutting the body. You cut the body. So there's some absolutes that we may have different beliefs. We may have different giftings. But we are in the same neighborhood because of the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the release of the Holy Spirit to live within every one of us. And if I can set those categories up, listen, there are seasons that you maybe have used to been a confidant, that you got busy in your business or I got busy in my business, but I'm telling you, I got 2 phone calls this week from people that were my closest confidants I had not spoken to in 3 or 4 years. Pick up the phone and the honor of confidant shows back up. What are you doing? I'm like, man. Oh man, do you remember when you prophesied that I was going to go from Apache helicopters to fixed wing? And yeah, he goes, do you realize that prophecy you gave me, bum, 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 I'm retired now and I'm working for this agency and I'm working for this agency. And that was the hinge pin was your prophecy. Why? Because we had been confidants. We haven't spoken in years. Now, he doesn't want to invite me back to his home group. They're a little Baptist, and I kind of blew it up last time because I was trying to feed them outside the barbecue. But I'm telling you, just because you used to be a confidant and now you're a constituent, you still have need one for another. But you can only stay in the cave and be a comrade for so long. We need interaction at those levels. That is my new evangelism program. You do not go try to get someone saved because they want to. You go to get them saved because the Father said so. That's the evangelist. Because the Father's already willed them to get saved, to know Him, to come into the family, come into the neighborhood. You may be living in a shack on the property. You're on the property. You're on the property. And because of that, there's safety for you. Does this make sense today? So in other words, we can walk hand in hand and not agree on everything. Is that okay? I had a homosexual argue with me and say, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, time out. Oh, so agreeing with you on everything is your qualification for I love you. You have some shallow love, sweet pea, because I can love the hell out of you and disagree with certain things. So don't disqualify my ability to love because of your blindness. I'm telling you, when we get this, you're not covering somebody's sin. You're covering the person and giving God the opportunity to work the sin out of them. That's going to be our greatest evangelism. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you for miracles. It's 11:51. That's a miracle today.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.